All right, let's take our Bibles once again and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're turning, just a couple of explanations here. Let's see, where did I see? Oh, okay, in the upcoming procedures, that Lauren Wyatt is our daughter, Lauren, and she's having surgery on Monday. So if you please pray for her. It's an extensive little thing that she's going through. And so pray for her. And then you'll see over in the last column, Steve Walters. All right, you might remember Steve and Wendy Walters. They sat right back there. And they moved to, he got transferred to Houston, Texas several years back. And Steve has cancer, and they basically have put him in hospice care. And so pray for them. Steve was always, you know, full of life and energy and just go. And then this cancer has hit, and it's really been rough. So pray for them, if you will. All right. Okay, where are we? Ephesians 6. That's where we are. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 10. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All right, let's pray, and then we'll continue on. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you now for this time to open the Word of God, and I pray that you will bless in a rich way tonight. Give us ears to hear. I pray that we will receive your Word with understanding, and Father, give us, I pray, remembrance of what we hear, and Lord, help us to retain what we hear. And then give us an opportunity to share what we've learned and to be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to someone else. And Father, we are in need of your blessing in everything that we do. And so I pray a special blessing on our service tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we looked. Last week, we started looking at God's organization and then the devil's organization. And if you'll remember, right at the very beginning, I reminded you a basic Bible fact, and that is that for everything that God has, the devil has a counter for it. All right, he is the master deceiver. He is a liar. He has an imitation for everything that God has, and we realize that, for example, God is in the Bible presented to us as three at one. All right, so Satan is presented. He presents himself as three yet one. He is the Satan, the father, the head of the demonic Godhead, and then underneath him is the first beast that will be revealed during the tribulation period. And then underneath him is the false prophet. And just as God is three yet one, the devil is three yet one. He's one being who represents himself in three different areas, and he does that as an imitation of the Godhead. And then I was thinking about this on the way over tonight from Bulger's. We went to Bulger's to eat, and so coming home. You see, we have a kitchen, but it's only because it came with a house. All right. All right. Who said amen? Oh my. But anyway, so I was thinking about this coming over. Y'all got me distracted now. I was thinking about this coming over to church tonight, that that all throughout the book of the Revelation, if you remember back in 2010, when all this talk was going on about the caliphate and all this stuff was beginning to happen over there. We spent about a year, 2 years or so, 3 years maybe, looking at all the Old Testament scriptures that have to do with the second coming of Christ. And much of the Old Testament is about our Lord's first advent. And that happened 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. All right, so then we learned that the devil copies, he imitates everything connected to God. And so during the tribulation period, then that is when Satan is going to imitate the Godhead. Now the church will be gone. The church is raptured out. And when the church goes, the Holy Spirit goes with us. And so there will be no Holy Spirit indwelling here, because we all go to heaven. And so the Holy Spirit will go with us. And so the Holy Spirit will work during the tribulation period. He will work as he did in the Old Testament. And you'll read in the Old Testament, for example, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon. All right? And so it will not be a permanent indwelling, but it will be the Holy Spirit will come upon folks to strengthen or to enable or to empower them during the tribulation period. And there's going to be a lot of people saved during the tribulation period. John said, if you remember, that it was a number that no man could number. All right, now you just think about that. That's a lot. So the reason is because of all the people who are on this planet today, thanks to the work of Satan and his deception, the number of people on this planet who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Well, they're going to hear it during the tribulation period. And so during that time, there's going to be a multitude, a number that no man could number. But the point I'm making to you is that it is during that time when the copy of the Godhead is going to be put into full effect, the satanic Godhead, the satanic Trinity. I hate to use that word Trinity because that word's not in the Bible. Godhead is in the Bible. So I would pronounce it Godhead with a capital G, but then satanic Godhead with a small G. All right, so you see the difference? And so the devil is going to kick his plan and his deception into order right after the church is taken up to be with the Lord in heaven. And so what we see throughout all of Scripture is the devil imitating God. God has a Bible. Satan has his Bibles. Plain and simple, folks. It's not complicated. God has his church. Devil has his church. His churches. All right? And on and on and on it goes. And so what we see here in this 12th verse is that God has an organization to his, he has a structure for how he works in this world. All right? He has a setup. He has a design. And God is always careful and make sure that we know the difference, because we learn and know the Bible. The Bible gives us discernment, and we can tell whether something is of God or is of the devil. All right, so what does Paul speak about? Well, if you look at this 12th verse, you will see that the first thing that he mentions are principalities. And last week we learned how the Lord has angels. He has, for example, he has two that are named archangels. I think personally that the third archangel was Satan. Three is a number of completion. And I think the third one was Lucifer, Satan. And that he, when he fell to the earth, then God has only used Michael and Gabriel. And so there's that hierarchy that God has. And these angels, these archangels seem to rule over principalities. In other words, they have a definite responsibility, and their responsibility is God-given. For example, Michael is Israel's protector. All right, he's Israel's protector, and we see that many times in the Bible. We learned last week in Luke 1 that Gabriel's position in heaven seems to be quite lofty, because he said of himself to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, he said in the first chapter of Luke, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." Now that's a pretty high and lofty spot to be standing, don't you think? To be standing in the presence of God. So he identifies himself as being in the presence of God. And the Bible speaks of there being angels who are princes over kingdoms and princes over people, or over large cities, large city states, and all the people who live in those places. And so these are principalities. God has angels that keep an eye on those principalities, but the devil also has his angels, and those angels, demons, keep watch care over these principalities. And all right, so that leads us now to the second one. That was what we did last week. But now look at the next one. He said in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood or man, but against principalities, comma, and then secondly, against powers." Powers. Now, what are these powers that he is making a reference to? Well, these powers are basically thrones. They are places where there is rulership, where there is authority. All right, we realize that these thrones are referenced and mentioned many times throughout the scripture. All right, go over to the book of Colossians for just a moment. Hold on. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1. I think I read these to you last week. But if you'll look at verse 16, Paul says that in verse 16, he said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be," what? "Thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So we learn in Colossians 1:16 that the Apostle Paul tells us that God, in his setup, in his hierarchy, in his plan of action, that God has good angels, and those good angels sit upon thrones and they rule. That's what you do from a throne. You rule from a throne. Does that make sense? Of course it does. And so here in Ephesians 6:12, in our text verse, then we learn that the devil has powers. He has these thrones all around the world where power is given from the devil to the demon, and that demon oversees the area where the throne represents. All right, so Satan is also said to have thrones. Now, a throne is used to describe a kingdom to rule and reign over. All right, understand that it is used. The word throne is used to describe a kingdom to rule and to reign over. In Ezekiel 28, all right, go back there for just a moment. Ezekiel 28. These are nuts and bolts, folks. These are nuts and bolts. So if I lose you, just try to get back, all right? All right, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. All right, now notice here in verse 2, "Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre," Tyrus, a city, "the city of Tyre and Sidon." They were twin cities, right side by side, and they are in Lebanon, all right? And so he said, "Say unto the prince of Tyrus." Now, what was he supposed to say? Well, here's what he was supposed to say. "Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a what? All right, so the prince of Tyre was an earthly ruler. All right, he was a man. God said so right here. He said, you say, I am a God, but you're not a God. You are a man and not God. It couldn't be any more clear than that. Though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. All right, so there is the prince of Tyre, and the prince of Tyre was a man. But notice now in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the what? King of Tyre. All right, so the prince of Tyre is a man. God said he was. God said he was in verse 2, clear as a bell. But now he takes up a lamentation against the king, or upon the king of Tyrus. So what's he supposed to say to him? Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden. All right, who is in Eden? Adam was there, we know, right? Who else? Eve, all right. Who else? And the devil, all right? So we got it narrowed down to three, don't we? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. All right, now was Adam created? Not a trick question. Yes, he was. How about Eve? Was she created? Yes. How about Satan? Was he created? All right, so we're not any further along, are we? Because all three were created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. Now, was Adam an angel? Was Eve an angel? There you go. So who's the king of Tyrus? Question. The prince is a what? The king is Satan. Who has more power? The king or the prince? The king does. You're exactly right. So what that means is the devil runs the throne. A man sits on the throne and he thinks he's all that. But God said, you ain't nothing. Because the king has all the authority, and the king is higher than the prince any day. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means that the king in America is not Donald Trump. Yeah. You say, well, you know, he has a lot of power. Yeah, he does, but he's not the king. Who's the king of America? Satan is. Satan is the one that runs. Hey, doesn't the Bible tell us that the devil is the prince and power of the air? Doesn't the Bible tell us that that Satan is the ruler of this world. He is in charge. Now, the earth belongs to the Lord, but you'll remember when Adam sinned, the authority was given over to the devil. Satan is the god of this world. Now, I know that's hard for some folks to grasp, but you got to realize that it is authority that was given up. It was given up. All right? And so the reason it was is because God understood that to get it back, he had to send his only begotten son to die on the cross. All right, now hold your place here. Hold your place in everywhere. In Ephesians. All right. I'm sorry I got you. I am so far from my notes, you would not believe it. I don't know, but when we get there, I'll let you know, all right? Look at Revelation chapter 1. All right, Revelation chapter 1. All right, Revelation chapter 1. So, John is receiving the revelation. All right, this book is not Revelations. You do not see a plural. All right, it is one revelation. And so look, please, if you will, at verse, let's look at verse 13. All right. He says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. Amen. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps, the breast, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. See, a bunch of us are getting a jump on eternity, aren't we? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. All right. So read on. Read on. It says, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, John said, now watch this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Wow. You know, you hear wackadoodles on TV, you know, and God shows up in their bedroom, stands at the foot of their bed, and they get up and, you know, do jumping jacks and talk to him. No, no, no. You know right away that's a lie that's being told. You know right away. Because what happened to Saul, of Tarsus, what happened to Saul, the Apostle Paul, when Jesus showed up to him on the Damascus Road? He fell to his face, fell on the ground as though dead. All right? And so when you hear these birds saying, Jesus showed up and he told me I was to ask you to send $10 million. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. All right? Because that's a lie. That's a lie. If the Lord showed up, you're going to hit the floor. you're going to fall at his feet. All right? So don't believe all this stuff you hear. All right, read on. Almost there. He said, he fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive because of the resurrection forevermore. Amen. And have the what? The keys of hell and of death. Now you remember when Adam sinned, Adam lost his dominion. God told him, you have dominion over all the earth. But when he sinned, he lost that dominion. Well, who took it? Satan did. And God now calls him the God of this world. All right? And so, after the Lord resurrected from the grave, we're told in Ephesians that he went down into the heart of the earth. And he brought all the Old Testament saints out. Remember that? And Luke tells us in his gospel that they were walking around the streets of Jerusalem. Isn't that Uncle Fred? I thought Uncle Fred died last month. Well, look at there. So what you see here is the Lord goes down. Open the door. And the devil comes over and says, what do you want? I want the keys. Because you see, when you have the keys, you have the control, the authority. All right? So, who are these? What are these thrones? Well, God tells us that there was a prince who was a man, and there was a king who was Satan himself. Now, I believe that what we're seeing here in the Bible, in our text, in Ephesians, I think what we're seeing here is that God has angels who do his bidding in every city, in every town, in every state, in every province in the world. But I also think what this is showing us is that Satan also has his evil spirits, his demons, who sit on thrones in high places and who rule over cities and towns and whole nations. And that's why the whole world is in the mess that it's in today. All right? Then back in Ephesians now. Back in Ephesians 6, all right, I want you to notice, he says, against powers and the rulers of the darkness. All right, what's the rulers of the darkness? Well, these are those who rule in darkness. All right, those who rule. And a synonym here is the word dominions. Dominions. There is no doubt, but there are some regions which are run by such a powerful satanic influence, and it has been run by that influence for so long that it seemingly has a death grip upon that area. All right? Exactly. Iran. Yeah. All right. Pull your seatbelt once. Don't want you to fall out on the floor. You ready? Rome. Yep. And these places, the devil has dominion because he has deceived people and lied to people through false religion. All right? There is no doubt that this kind of thing is seen in our major cities. I mean, here in America, there are so many cities, these big cities, and they are dominated because they have satanic dominion that rules them. All right? Cities like Las Vegas with its gambling and its prostitution and vice and everything else that goes on there. A city like Asheville, North Carolina. You ever driven into Asheville, North Carolina? I've been there several times. And when you get into Asheville, North Carolina, you can just feel the demon possession. That is the capital of witchcraft in America. Asheville, North Carolina. Witches and Wiccan religion, the whole thing, spells cast, the whole nine yards, has been for years and years and years. And everybody knows it. Everybody in North Carolina knows it. And I know it because I have been there. And I asked the preacher, I said, what's this? What am I feeling here? He said, you can feel that? And I said, yeah. Can't you? He said, I used to, but I don't feel it anymore, probably because I'm used to it. I said, man, I would never get used to that. Yep. Oh, man. All right, see what I'm saying? All right. Why Las Vegas? Why Asheville, North Carolina? Why New Orleans? Well, there you got false religion. All right, there you got false religion. You got dominions that are running those places. All right, but then there are cities like Chicago and New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco, where they are blindly deceived by corrupt liberalism. Corrupted to the core. And the devil has such a strong grip upon everything that goes on. And he does. He does. All right, there's that little word, powers. We need to look at it real quick. The word suggests here that some cities, towns, and or regions, there are additional powers of wickedness that have been added to help the devil to get even a greater grasp on the people who live there. Those are the powers. It's like the devil says, we got to make sure that we keep these people in our net. And so he doubles up on them. Those are powers. Folks, the devil knows what he's up to, doesn't he? So what do we see here? in closing, what do we see here? Well, according to verse 12, what we see here is a spiritual fight. And you cannot win a spiritual fight without spiritual weapons. And that's where we're going to get to the armor that begins in verse 13 and goes through verse 18. All right? So we wrestle not against men or women, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Oh, my goodness. Dominions. Just sheer dominions where they have a death grip upon the culture and upon the people. I think I told you guys, years ago, Glenn Matthews and I went down and a couple other preacher, well, one other preacher from West Virginia, and we went down to Guyana, South America, and preached for 2 weeks. And that was my first real experience being out of the country and seeing the things I saw with my own eyes. And we went to the market one day. We went down to this big open-air market. They had everything you could imagine. And I heard music, and it caught my ear. And I said to Glenn, I said, "Listen to that sound." He said, "Yeah, those are steel drums." He had been down in the Caribbean before. He said, "Those are steel drums." And I said, "I've heard of those. I've heard of those." He said, "Let's find it, and I want to show you something." So we went over, and we found it. You just follow the sound. And there was about 10 people, 10 men, and they all had various size drums, and they were playing, and you could just sense that it was whipping people into a lather, you know? And Glenn said, "Get ready. It's going to get ripe here in just a minute." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Just watch." So we stood there. We were right. I mean, they were right there in front of us. And all of a sudden, this little skinny kid, his legs were about that big around. This little skinny kid came prancing across the sidewalk or the parking lot. And he was dancing to the drums. And then he was not making eye contact with anybody. He would be over here a little bit, and then he's over here a little bit. And then he came right back, and he made direct eye contact with me. Glenn went, "Hold on." And I asked Glenn Letters, why didn't he make eyeball contact with you? He said he had already done that a year ago. "You were new." I said, he couldn't remember. Yeah, oh yeah. Well, he didn't. The demon that's in him did. And that kid looked at me, and I just stood there and looked back at him. And he took a baton like this, made out of bone. This one's plastic. And he took it right here. There was not an opening in his skin. I kid you not, there was not. He showed me his face, both sides. Took that thing and shoved it through his jaw not a drop of blood. Shoved it through his tongue, not a drop of blood. And then shoved it out the other side. And he wiggled up. Can your God do that? I got the gooly books. And I said, here's what my God did. He resurrected from the grave. Can yours do that? And he reached up and he pulled it out and he went back. Shut him down right there. Folks, this demon stuff, these thrones, these dominion, it's real. And that's why we're in the mess that we are in today. It is the unseen world that directs the seen world. And don't you doubt that for a minute. All right? I got to quit. All right. Yeah, I do. I got moms and dads that will shoot me. All right. Father, thank you now for your word. Bless this to our hearts. Thank you for what we can glean from Scripture. And Lord, we just take time to carefully look at the Bible and compare Scripture with Scripture. And Father, the things we can learn, the things we can see, I just ask you to bless what's been said tonight. Give us ammunition for the fight. Help us, Father, to trust your word and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.